If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety's not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Man, that just gets you up and punches you right straight in the face, doesn't it? Man, I love that. Whether you like it or not, that rocks. Okay, here we go. Thank you very much, RJ Hinder and crew. Another fine addition. Thank you very much for sending your audience this way. I welcome everybody, good folks listening to RJ Hinder, and incorporated you in with the 2A Radio family. I'm feeling good. So, a little bit of housekeeping, guys. First of all, right here at RBN, Republic Broadcasting, we're always trying to spread the word and get the truth and the information out there to the masses. Well, we could always use a little bit of help from friends. So, for $8, $8, that's it, and it's flat fee, $8, you can get 100 generic RBN cards. I say generic because they don't have anybody's name and title on them that you can hand out. And these are good-looking cards. These are not just some sort of cheap thing that came off a laser printer or bubble jet. These are very nice printed cards. Now, I come from a printing background. I was raised in a print shop. I know what good work is, and I know what garbage shortcuts are. This is good-looking stuff. For $8, you can get 100 of these cards to hand out. You can also... It also comes with a bumper sticker, that's included, as well as a free copy of Aaron Russo's America, From Freedom to Fascism. If you have not seen this particular video, it's a movie, it's a documentary that Aaron Russo did. It was his last project before he died of cancer. And RBN's own Dave Champion happened to be one of Aaron's consultants on this movie, because he goes into a lot of things dealing with taxes as well. It's a very, very encompassing movie. I saw this thing a couple years ago. It is great. And again, Dave Champion, he has his show here on RBN Monday through Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Central Time. He has the hour just before John Stadtmiller comes on. So he had involvement in Freedom to Fascism. And with that being said, $8 is going to get you the 100 business cards, the bumper stickers, and Aaron Russo's Freedom to Fascism. And you can get that one of two ways. You can either send the $8 in to 2251 Double Creek Boulevard. That's two different words. Double, then Creek, I guess three different words, then Boulevard. Suite 302. Okay? That's in Round Rock, two different words, Texas, TX, 78664. Or... you can call up. You can call 800-724-2719, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. 800-724-2719, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. And you can get all of this, the 100 cards, as well as the bumper sticker, as well as Aaron Russo's copy, From Freedom to Fascism, for $8. So take care of that. Got plenty of news, information, commentary, all that great stuff coming up in the rest of the show. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, welcome back. We're going to cover just a little bit about the open carry laws in California yet again. Now, if you listen to the show for any time, you know that essentially in California, you can carry a handgun exposed as long as it's not loaded. If it's a semi-auto, no round in the chamber, no magazine in the gun. If it's a revolver, nothing in the cylinder. However, you can have the ammunition on you, such as in a belt pouch or a speed loader. As long as the gun itself is not loaded, you can carry that way in California. And there's been a very progressive movement. I hate to use the term progressive because that usually means the socialists on the left. But in this case, it's the right word when speaking about the gun carrying, Second Amendment preserving folks in the state of California, spelled with a K. So here's the deal. You can carry a gun open and exposed. Now, they're doing this in a lot of places in California, namely in the San Francisco Bay Area, which San Francisco always calls itself, erroneously, the most tolerant city in America. Unless you're preaching conservative values, religion, values around the home, but things like people that listen to this network would tend to stand up on a soapbox and preach. That's when they try to get you to shut up and get you banned and get you barred from different places. If you want to stand up and talk about things that are anti-church, anti-family, socialist, leftist, commie, you know, spew out of your mouth and be everything unholy you could possibly think of, that is what they're tolerant of in San Francisco. So here is a piece that was written by, it's an opinion piece, written in a paper in the Bay Area, and it says, shootout at the Starbucks Corral. It says, Starbucks caters to college students seeking a quiet place to study, to business people looking to get their morning caffeine fix, and now to gun advocates seeking to raise awareness about current gun laws. The advocates call attention to the controversial open carry laws, which, listen to this, which gives a citizen the right to wear unconcealed weapons. The weapons must be unloaded according to California law, but ammunition can be within reach. So that one portion of a sentence, which gives a citizen the right to wear unconcealed weapons. Okay. Nobody gives you any rights. Rights are just there. They cannot be given. They cannot be taken away. Essentially, the way it went down in California, the way that it went down where you have to have the guns unloaded, was back in the 1960s, the Black Panthers marched with loaded guns on the state capitol. Not a shot was fired, but the state legislators, the entire legislature, felt that they were being threatened. And in fact, they were, because the Black Panthers didn't like what was going down in the state of California at the legislative level. So they, the next day, passed a law that said, okay, if you're going to be carrying a gun in public, it can't be loaded. There was no law that said, you're allowed to carry a gun in public. And then they amend it to, you're allowed to carry a gun in public, but it can't be loaded. There was no law that allowed you to carry a gun in public. All right. What they did was, they took the right and narrowly defined it. You had a right to carry a gun in California, which you do now. What they did was they passed a law that says, we understand you have a right to carry a gun in California, but we're going to say that it can't be loaded. You can have the ammunition on you and close, but the gun itself cannot be loaded. So that's what they did. So nobody was given any rights. And it's not called an unconcealed weapon. It's called carrying exposed. So let's get all of that out. Now, continuing with the story. In an effort to raise awareness about these gun laws, gun owners in the Bay Area have recently been seen walking around town with their unloaded sidearms on their hips. Unfortunately for them, several protesters managed to get them barred from businesses such as Pete's Coffee and Tea, as well as California Pizza Kitchen. Starbucks has remained neutral on the issue. The gun advocates did not pressure anyone to sign a petition, nor did they get on a soapbox and preach. In fact, the only thing they did was go to lunch, but they were barred just the same. Now, in a difference to the way that things go in California with not being able to carry guns unless they're empty, in Nevada, you're allowed to carry open. Of course, I know that. I live in Nevada. There are two small exceptions. One is the city of North Las Vegas and the city of Boulder City, Nevada. North Las Vegas has a city ordinance, as does Boulder City. And Boulder City's always had that. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. Boulder City has It's the only city in the entire state where there's no gaming. Imagine that, because Boulder City was started as a federal encampment of sorts for workers constructing Hoover Dam, originally called Boulder Dam, Black Rock Canyon, blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, so I'm going to go through a little piece here called Nevadans Are Free to Don Their Arms in Open. Even though it's legal, not everyone is comfortable with gun-wearing citizens, especially some police. Imagine that. So just about everybody on the Metro Police Force has heard of Tim Farrell. He sometimes gets mistaken for a law enforcement officer. Well, sounds interesting. Why is that? Farrell is simply a 29-year-old wireless internet engineer and a gun rights crusader. He is one of what appears to be a growing number of people taking the open carry cause, advocating a constitutional right to openly carry firearms. Now, I will tell you this. In the city of Las Vegas, you don't see very many people open carrying. I am one of those exceptions. Oftentimes, I carry in Vegas, openly and exposed. Here's Farrell. He says, the open carry movement has gained momentum over the last 4 or 5 years because people are waking up to their rights. I don't need a permit to exercise free speech. I don't need a permit to be tried by a jury if I'm accused of a crime. So why do I need a permit to carry a gun if I have a constitutional right to carry a gun? Very interesting points. Excellent. Nevada is a better place than most for Farrell because it is an open carry state. Nevada reiterates the right to bear arms in its constitution and does not have blanket restrictions on law-abiding citizens open carry firearms. That's why a dozen or so people who attended the March 27th Tea Party rally in Searchlight were able to openly carry firearms. One was Dave Stillwell, a 44-year-old truck driver from Las Vegas who always carries a gun for self-defense. He says he was jogging back from a garage sale near his house one morning last May when his 45 caliber pistol on his hip around Jones Boulevard, Cheyenne Avenue. That's way up in the northwest area. A Metro patrol car rolled up slowly behind him. A shopkeeper had called police after seeing the gun, said one officer, who took the pistol from Stillwell, removed the magazine and the bullet from the chamber, checked the ID number on the gun, then returned the weapon and ammunition to Stillwell before driving away. I just told the officer I was exercising my body and my rights, he said. In retrospect, I don't think that was such a big deal. Because police in Southern Nevada know it's an open carry state. He continues by saying, I knew I would have contact with police at some point. Even though it's my legal right to carry a gun, there's a lot of propaganda out there, a lot of inaccurate information. When I started to open carry a couple years ago, I would have guessed that 90 out of 100% of the people didn't think it was legal. So have open carry advocates latched onto the Tea Party movement? Stillwell says, although he attended with gun in holster, his reason for going was to join others who care about their rights. He says, rights are becoming more prevalent because people feel their backs are against the wall because of the government. Now, guys, that's something I've been saying for quite some time, that the government, the federal government in particular, in California, it's also the state government, Illinois, it's also the state government, in Pennsylvania, it's also some of the local governments, in New Jersey, it's also the state government, that are pushing people into a corner to the point where they either need to fold and get completely railroaded, or they're going to feel like caged animals, and they're going to explode, and they're going to fight back, literally fight back. And it's the governments that are really pushing this to a head. So, here we're continuing on with this. Let's see. Farrell is not a Tea Partier. He describes himself as a libertarian and a pro-choice on abortion. He and Stillwell are on the same page when it comes to guns, however. Like Stillwell, Farrell says he carries a handgun wherever he goes for self-defense. He says he's never been kicked out of a casino or other place of business, but finds himself educating business owners who question why he is so brazenly armed. Farrell says he has worn his gun many times into neighborhood restaurants and a bar near US 95 in Summerlin Parkway, in way up northwest. But he walks in one afternoon. A bartender who spots the gun is taken back. She says the only pistol packing customers she has served are undercover cops. And she says to Farrell, so what I should have done is asked to see your concealed weapons permit because it's something that's mandatory, she told him. He says, I don't have a concealed gun on me. I do have a concealed weapons permit, but you don't need a concealed weapons permit for a non-concealed gun. She continues back at him by saying, I mean a regular permit just to carry the gun around. He tells her, there is no permit in this state for that. I used to be year there. It used to be years ago, you'd have to give your weapons to the bartender, she says. The bar is private property, obviously, he says. You can set whatever rules you want. You can pull that out on me and shoot, she tells him. You see what I'm saying? His response is, well, of course, and that's one of the reasons I carry openly is for self-defense, but it's also to educate others as well that, one, it's not against the law, and two, it's not everyone with a gun who is a bad guy. Certainly if there's a bad guy coming to rob you, he wouldn't let you see the gun until it was too late. With that, the bartender went about her business. So next what we're going to do is we're going to go through what it is that the Las Vegas Metro Police do through their training when they encounter someone with a gun. That'll be interesting for all of you to hear. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
Welcome back from the break. All right, so when I was a Las Vegas Metro cop back in the mid-90s, we did not go through any specialized training in the police academy or even in the in-service training. Each cop every year has to do a certain amount of training and stay up to date. Some things are mandatory and other things you can kind of go into your own little special interest of sorts. They now have a 20-minute refresher course on open carrying of firearms, which is produced in-house, and begins with the statement that Nevada is an open carry state. Then what they do is they go on, and they go on to tell officers that there are three ways to, quote, engage a person who is openly carrying a firearm. First is a consensual stop, in which an officer casually walks up to an individual and attempts to engage in a conversation, but does not make an arrest if the person simply walks away. Number two is known as a Terry stop, in which an officer has a reasonable suspicion that the person may have committed a crime or is about to do so. And then the third is a probable cause arrest. So the training depicts three scenarios using still photos. And the interesting thing is every one of these photos that they look at, I shouldn't say everyone. Two of the three, actually, are in a populated area, like either on the Strip or downtown, near all the touristy areas. So here's the first one. First scenario, which occurs on the Strip, involves an anonymous tip shortly after midnight of an armed white or Hispanic man, roughly 5'10", with a medium build. The tipster says the individual is wearing a blue shirt, black baggy shorts, and has a black bandana hanging from a rear pocket, which could be considered a gang symbol. When officers arrive, they see an individual closely matching that description, has a cup in his hand, and is 30 feet away from a large group of people. The officers are instructed to approach the individual to determine his frame of mind. If intoxicated, he could be arrested for possessing the firearm. He also would be in trouble if he were underage drinker or an ex-felon in possession of a firearm. If he's not intoxicated and there's no suspicion that he has or is about to commit a crime, there's no reason to detain him. Now, some of you might be saying, well, what about the cup outside yet? You can actually walk around with an open container in Nevada. You can walk down the street with a glass of beer, or a cup of beer, actually. I guess you could have a glass. But, yeah, you can walk around on the street drinking. Yes, it's Nevada. What can I say? The second scenario, which takes place after 3 a.m. in a neighborhood known for drug peddling and gang violence, a woman calls police to report a young Asian man in her backyard with a gun and a small dog. By the time police arrive a few minutes later, they spot a man matching the description, wearing a beanie and walking a dog on a leash on the sidewalk. The officers are instructed to approach the individual and ask him whether he was in the backyard, which would have been trespassing, and try to determine whether the beanie could be used as a mask, because he has no burglary tools and the woman did not report any theft or property damage. The officers are instructed to let him go if they have no other reason to detain him. Not that actually having a mask is against the law. It's just it raises suspicion. You can certainly understand. In the final scenario, officers are at the Fremont Street Experience downtown one evening during a festival of live entertainment, coming upon seven armed adults, five white men, a black man, and a white woman, standing around but not drinking. In that instance, officers are instructed to leave those individuals alone. You see the differences here? The first one and the second one were both Terry stops. There was no probable cause. I mean, that's an easy one to figure out. The last one is, there's nothing to do about it. Now, it's interesting that in the first one, they talk about individual wearing a blue shirt, black baggy shorts, and a black bandana hanging from a rear pocket, which could be considered a gang symbol. If you're walking around open carrying and you are dressed kind of shoddily, you shouldn't be doing that. That doesn't send the right message. And if anything, it entices people to call on you and entices cops to stop you more and more often. And then you start inviting trouble. Because whenever the cops come around, usually there's pretty much never a scenario where interaction with the police is going to better your position. Almost never. You're just not going to find it. So to avoid those situations and simply not have the cops around is the best way of doing it. On the occasion where I carry openly in Vegas, now in Pahrump, the little town where I live, it's very common, no big deal. In Vegas, you get much more jittery people. You got a whole bunch of people that have come from other liberal parts of the country, California, New York, just all over the country. You get people all over. So they're, oh my gosh, a gun in our little Garden of England, Garden of Eden, Shangri-La of Las Vegas. That guy has a gun. And if you're dressed like a bum, then the police are going to be more inclined to stop you. All right? Now, when I go out, I'll usually wear some decent slacks or even some 511s that are in good shape. And maybe a polo shirt or a button-up shirt that's tucked in. And I've got, generally, I've got my 1911 or a Glock on me in a, like a Blackhawk Serpa holster, one with a little retention button. And that's the way I would walk around town with that. So, just give you an idea. If you're going to do that sort of thing and you're in an open carry area, dress the part, please. I mean, elevate gun owners to a higher level. Stay tuned, guys. There's plenty more stuff coming the rest of the show. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right. So, the Brady campaign president, Paul Helmke, that's the Brady campaign to completely screw American citizens out of being able to arm themselves. I think that's her official name. He admitted, quite by accident, that his organization, the Brady Campaign, still believes in banning entire classes of firearms, despite the 2008 Supreme Court ruling in D.C. versus Heller, that such bans would not pass constitutional muster. But that doesn't matter to the Brady Bunch. Their agenda has always been one of gun prohibition, not control. The kinds of controls they consider common sense are so draconian in nature that they actually discourage firearms ownership and lower the civil right to keep and bear arms to the level of a highly regulated privilege, something that you might find somewhere in, say, Europe or even in Japan. Helmke admonished politicians and legislatures at all levels to stop using the Second Amendment as an excuse for inaction. Against what the anti-gun lobby has cleverly dubbed gun violence, he believes that legislatures at all levels are hiding behind the Second Amendment and encouraging gun violence to continue. After all, what's the difference between gun violence and any other kind of criminal violence that results in someone being injured or killed? Is someone any less dead if she was stabbed, strangled, burned, or bludgeoned? Helmke's crew has never explained that, but eventually, they do think there's a difference. Millions of Americans understand that the Second Amendment is not an excuse for anything. Law-abiding citizens are not hiding behind a constitutional guarantee when they oppose the imposition of extreme regulations like those adopted in the District of Columbia, which Helmke finds so reasonable. These regulations include an unbelievable registration process requiring a ballistics check of a handgun, a written test, and proof of good eyesight. Now, could you imagine that if you wanted to exercise your First Amendment right to free speech, that you would first have to be checked to make sure that you pronounce words properly and that you don't have any vocal strains, and you have to pay a fee to go through all of that and wait a week or two or three before you can get the approval to exercise your First Amendment right to free speech? No one would ever imagine that, but because there's a gun involved, they can. District regulations also call so-called assault weapons, you and I would know them as sport utility weapons, the definition of which has become so nebulous over the years that just about any firearm someone does not like could be called an assault weapon and fall into the scope, particularly if it's semi-automatic. The Brady Group is just fine with that. Helmke says the politician and legislatures, quote, should follow the district's example and pass the strong common sense gun laws Americans need to demand to protect their communities. Americans are not needing nor demanding that, Paul, you jackass hillbilly. The Brady campaign has been disingenuous at best over the years. It was on the losing side of the Heller case, but subsequently claimed that since there is an individual right to keep and bear arms, and the door has been left open to reasonable regulation, then it is reasonable to essentially regulate gun ownership into extinction. The right would still exist, but exercising it would become a regulatory nightmare. The Brady campaign is not now, nor has it ever been, to prevent gun violence, as they claim. The campaign has always been to prevent gun ownership. I want to thank Alan Gottlieb, Executive Vice President of the Second Amendment Foundation, for that. Now we're going to talk about the anti-gun state of California, where a California Democrat proposes mandatory gun registration. Now, a lot of guns in California need to be registered anyhow. Now he wants all of them done. A California Democrat is proposing a new law requiring residents to register their shotguns and rifles or go to jail. Assemblyman Mike Feuer, whose district includes Beverly Hills and West Hollywood, this week introduced legislation ordering law enforcement to permanently keep records of anyone who buys a gun from a dealer or an individual. California already stores information about handgun purchases. Feuer is no friend of firearms owners. His previous legislative effort, which Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed into law, required all new handguns to include micro-stamping technology that can imprint serial numbers on spent ammunition casings. As a Los Angeles City Councilman, Feuer proposed limiting city residents to one gun a month. Bureau spokesman Adrian Smith declined to answer questions about the bill on Tuesday afternoon, saying the staff member involved was in a meeting and not immediately available. The proposal comes as the U.S. Supreme Court is considering a landmark civil rights case in McDonald v. Chicago, which will decide whether Second Amendment rights in the federal constitution trump state anti-gun laws. But California is proposing mandatory registration and not a flat ban, as Washington, D.C. once tried, and the justices rejected. And even legal scholars specializing in this area disagree about whether registration is constitutional. Even though the constitutionality of such a measure is a close call, it is a horrible public policy choice, says Gene Hoffman, chairman of the Cal Guns Foundation. Just as Canada is about to do away with their long registry after squandering $1 billion, California wishes to attack law-abiding gun owners for firearms not used in crimes. Keep in mind, this would be a tremendous expense to the unbelievably bankrupt and in the red state of California. An article last month reported that the Canadian Parliament is backing away from the nation's gun registry, which was enacted in 1989, and has now come under fire by critics who call it a billion-dollar boondoggle. Feuer's bill isn't exactly a surprise, he told the Brady campaign, an anti-gun advocacy group, earlier this year, that his forthcoming proposal would give law enforcement another tool to track down people in possession of illegal firearms. Now, keep in mind, right now, all the firearms are legal. If you pass the legislation and you fail to go register your guns, they would now be illegal firearms. So imagine this. Someone goes to a sporting goods store, fills out a form 4473, and buys themselves an over and under 12-gauge shotgun so that they can go bird hunting or trap or skeet shooting. All right? They pass this law. The person fails to hear about the law, fails to register the shotgun, and then during some check of that particular sporting goods store's 4473, the cops decide to look up and make sure everybody who's ever bought a gun there has registered the guns. They come across this guy and say, ooh, this guy bought an over and under shotgun back in 1997 and hasn't registered it. Huh. Well, we don't see it listed by anybody else by this serial number. So what we're going to do is we're going to go get a search warrant signed by a judge because we have probable cause to believe that this guy has a shotgun in the house. And because it's a gun, we're going to ask for a no-knock warrant and kick this guy's door down and look for the gun. So they do that. They find the gun. They seize the gun. It will now be taken into possession, used as evidence, destroyed afterwards, and prosecute this guy for failure to register a gun and having an unregistered, over-and-under, duck-hunting shotgun. You see where this goes. This is what happened in Nazi Germany. They started with gun registration. Then when they knew everybody who had a gun, every gun they owned, they said, society safe, don't worry. We have the SA, the Citizens Police, which are responsible to Hitler. They are devout Hitler propaganda guys, exactly the sort of thing that Obama is trying to do here in the States. He wants to have a citizens police force. And this citizens police force would be responsible to him and listen to him. Same thing the SA in Nazi Germany. So all the guns were registered. All right, you know what? Now we've got the SA. You guys don't need guns. Society's wonderful and perfect. Turn in your guns. We know everybody that has them because they're registered. If not, we're going to stormtroop your ass and take everything, and we're going to throw you in the clink, which is exactly what happened. It started with gun registration. So, continuing, this legislation would close a glaring loophole and ensure that all firearms records, not just handgun records, are maintained for law enforcement purposes, said Ellen Bonparth, spokesperson for the California Brady Campaign chapters, she said in a statement. Maintained for law enforcement purposes. That's people looking to enforce laws, not prevent crimes. Guys, police originally came on the scene back in the mid-1800s to help the armed citizens, the regular citizens of society, in big cities, generally on the East Coast, like Philadelphia, New York, Boston, to be able to take the normal, regular, everyday citizens who lived in these cities that were going to work and producing things, starting the Industrial Revolution, doing good things for their communities and the country as a whole, who were getting harassed by dregs of society, unarmed police came about to assist the citizens from being harassed. And they specifically targeted the thugs and the scumbags of the streets. Now, they're called law enforcement, where they're there to enforce every law on the books against everyone in society. And push them down, squash them. So you can see that's the entire way of looking at this by this California Brady Campaign chapter spokesperson, Ellen Bonparth. Again, she says, this legislation would close a glaring loophole to ensure that all firearms records, not just handgun records, are maintained for law enforcement purposes. You know, I don't need to hand you... That would be like saying, you know what, we're going to put trackers on everyone's car. GPS trackers, we know where speed limits are and are not. And this is used for law enforcement purposes. If you go more than 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, it's going to trip a signal and we're going to automatically generate a violation, a fine for violating the speed limit. Would anyone participate with that? Show of hands out there in the audience, anyone? If they said, look, what we're going to do now is give you this device. It needs to be maintained in your vehicle. Whenever your vehicle is on and operating, we're going to know exactly where you are. We're going to know exactly the speed you're going. Even if they don't know where you are, they're going to know the speed that you're going and the speed limit for the area in which you are. And if you go over however many, 5 mile an hour grace, 8 mile an hour grace, whatever it is, they're going to automatically generate you a speeding ticket and fine you for doing that. Who would participate in that? No one. Everyone would stand up against that. Every single person would stand up against that because we are all drivers. We all have vehicles and we all get from point A to point B and don't need to have our freedom of travel squashed by an over-controlling law enforcement organization. However, people are okay with that when it comes to guns, and it's always the people who don't own guns. Feuer appears to have adopted an unusual approach to introducing his mandatory gun registration bill. He took an existing piece of criminal legislation, AB 1810, that dealt with graffiti and vandalism, and replaced it with a completely new version with the same bill number. So, he's playing hide the weenie. Imagine that. He's a little troll, scumbag, pathetic little parasite and can't stand up and do what he thinks is right. He's got to do it by really playing hide the weenie with this crap bill. A hearing is scheduled for April 13th in 5 days in Sacramento before the California State Assembly Committee on Public Safety. At the moment, a minority of states, including New York, Maryland, California, New Jersey, and Massachusetts, require mandatory registration for handguns. Others, like Pennsylvania, require sales of handguns to go through a dealer who keeps records of the transaction. Again, that is unconstitutional. We'll talk about that in a moment. No federal firearm registry exists, though some anti-gun types have pushed for one in the past. An unsuccessful 1995 bill, H.R. 169, would have imposed California-style registration of handguns nationwide through a federal handgun registration system. Violators and violations would have been punished by up to 12 years in federal prison. The author of the bill, Representative Curtis Collins, Democrat of Illinois, told her colleagues at the time that, quote, I still believe the best way to control handguns is to ban them outright. Well, your belief system is screwed up, lady. If that's what you believe, it's just simple. Your belief system is totally hosed, screwed up. Now, understand, guys, we have a recognized and constitutionally protected right to own property and do with as we please, as long as it doesn't harm someone else, or as long as it doesn't restrain the rights of someone else. So if I own something, I can sell it. I can buy and sell stuff all I want. It's my own property. What they're trying to do is say, in Pennsylvania, if you own a gun and you want to sell it, you can't just sell it. We are going to subdue your rights to do with as you would with your property, because that one goes bang. That piece of property goes bang. You're going to have to sell it through a dealer who's going to keep a record of the transaction, which is just backdoor registration. That's all it is. I buy a lot of my guns private party because I don't think that I absolutely have to have some form, 4473 or other, stating that I need to have my gun transaction recorded and eventually in the hands of the ATF, or at least to be reviewed by the ATF or any other law enforcement policing agency. So most of my gun transactions are private party. I find a gun that I want, I buy it from them or I sell it to them, however it goes, and all is well. That's the way I do business, and it's nobody else's business. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong, and this is not where you belong.
On the positive note, state number 6 tells the feds to stuff their gun registration. A sixth state, Arizona, now declared that guns made and kept inside its borders essentially are free from federal application, registration, and ownership regulations in a surging movement among states that one supporter describes as a direct challenge to, quote, a government monopoly on supply of firearms. Governor Jan Brewer of Arizona this week signed the state's version of a Firearms Freedom Act, which originated in Montana and now has been adopted by 6 states with several dozen more in various stages of their own plans. Brewer issued a statement that the law is intended to give Washington, D.C. the message they say should not try to, quote, get between Arizonans and their constitutional rights. Now, Arizona joins Wyoming, South Dakota, Utah, and Tennessee, as well as Montana, where Gary Marbit of the Montana Shooting Sports Association was a key proponent. Marbit has warned that under the current system of federal approval for gun purchases, federal registration requirements, federal restrictions, and federal limits, the U.S. essentially has established a monopoly on guns. The Firearms Freedom Act measures being adopted around the nation, now he said, are supported by the Ninth and Second Amendments to the U.S. Constitution and are needed to break down that monopoly. Hear ye. Now, those of you who happen to listen to the Dave Champion Show might have learned yesterday, Dave went in to pick up his Malone LeVay 1911 pistol, custom built, a couple of days ago, and they told him, you know what, your driver's license has been suspended. He used that as ID to pick up the gun. So they wouldn't let him pick up the gun because his driver's license has been suspended due to some citation he got, paid the citation, and yet the courts didn't let the Department of Motor Vehicles know that it had been paid. Now, it's never been said that your right to travel and you go about getting a driver's license, if that gets suspended, you can't arm yourself. So the state of Nevada violated Dave Champion's constitutional right keep and bear arms by disallowing him to purchase a firearm because the identification he provided was suspended by the state. a violation also of the Nevada state constitution. It's interesting. I have encouraged Dave to really take this pretty far. He's pretty busy. I don't know if he will. But nonetheless, be aware of these sorts of things, guys. If you have a driver's license and for some reason they believe it's no longer good and they deny you the ability to buy a gun from a dealer, that's just plain wrong. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for the doctors on the Control Factor, coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.